SME Community Podcast by Tipperary Local Enterprise Office with me, Aisling Hurley, the Business Fairy.
In today's episode, we're going to explore the world of business collaboration and cross-border trade. And our spotlight is on an organisation that plays a pivotal role in fostering partnerships and also driving economic growth in Ireland and Northern Ireland. So join us as we delve into the realm of InterTrade Ireland. It's an innovative agency that champions businesses and encourages cooperation across a border. So here to explain how it all works are Anne-Marie McAteer, who is the manager of the InterTrade Ireland Acumen Programme. So she'll tell us all about Acumen shortly. And also with us is Janet Toll, who is the manager for InterTrade Ireland Innovation Programmes. These programmes are called Innovation Boost and Boost to Business. So welcome to you both and thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Aisling.
Thank you, Aisling.
So Anne-Marie, do you maybe want to tell us, how did InterTrade Ireland come about? I didn't realise until we were talking off air that it was actually the direct result of the 1998 Good Friday Agreement.
That's right. Yes, Aisling, InterTrade Ireland was established as a direct result of the Good Friday Agreement and has been based in Newry for well over 20 years now. And I suppose the original remit of the organisation is to help small businesses in Ireland and Northern Ireland explore the cross-border market. And we do that through a number of initiatives, and particularly in relation to the Acumen programme that I look after, but we also have other supports to help businesses to develop new products and processes and services and essentially become investor ready. The services include funding and supports for sales, growth and innovation and business insights for SMEs across the island looking to grow their business. And Janet heads up, as you mentioned, our innovation programmes. So very, very closely linked programmes and supporting businesses.
Yeah, and Janet, you actually, when we were chatting off air, had a brilliant way to describe exactly what InterTrade Ireland is and does. Would you just explain that for people?
Yeah, so anyone that doesn't know, InterTrade Ireland, as Anne-Marie says, we are set up under the Good Friday Agreement and we are one of the cross-border bodies. So whilst we're established and based in Newry, we cover the whole island, right from the tip of Donegal, right down to Cork, over from the west, from Sligo, right out over the east coast, up into Northern Ireland. So we cover the entire island. And InterTrade Ireland is similar to other development agencies such as Enterprise Ireland, but we focus on exporting on the island, so that's north to south and south to north, and we focus on developing SMEs through supports and information to help them build their capability and capacity and their competitiveness to explore the export market. The export market on the island is a natural test bed to explore, your first, if you're a first-time exporter, you have a different currency, you have a route to market, and through programmes such as Acumen, InterTrade Ireland provides funding for businesses to look at those opportunities in the cross-border market. And then the programmes that I manage, so the innovation programmes, look at supporting businesses that underpinning that level of export, your growth to export, by looking at building your capability and your competitiveness.
It's a brilliant opportunity for businesses, actually, because I think sometimes, you know, when we're looking at our businesses and looking at ways to grow and we start thinking about export, we forget there's a whole market just, you know, up the road, basically.
Yeah. Very, very true. Particularly, I'm sure, you know, there's been a big experience of companies, whether you're based from Cork, the North might seem very far away, but there's real opportunity. I know Anne-Marie has experience, you know, probably talk a bit more about those experiences for businesses, no matter where they're based on the island.
Yeah, absolutely. Janet, I mean, a lot of companies, when they contact us and they say to us that we're considering, you know, looking to Northern Ireland to grow our sales and you know, but we're not sure how to go about it. And very often we would say, well, you know, why not? You know, it just makes sense. It's essentially the closest export market to your home market here in Ireland. It's, as Janet said, it's on the doorstep. Logistically, it's an easy market to access, and generally, hopefully, it should be cost effective to do so. And it's, I suppose, there are no tariffs, there's no paperwork or customs issues to be concerned about. The demographics and the business profiles within both jurisdictions are generally an exact replica of each other in many cases. As Janet's already mentioned, you know, exposure to Northern Ireland market for businesses in Ireland, you know, also can present opportunities for further expansion to the GB market. So, you know, some businesses might perceive there are barriers to trade with the North, but essentially there aren't, you know. What a business might perceive to be a barrier is maybe just the fact that they lack the knowledge and understanding of what the opportunities are in the Northern Ireland market for their business. But that's an area that Intertrade Ireland can help the company and the business to navigate. And we have additional supports available that can help a company who is considering maybe Northern Ireland for the first time, or maybe looking to focus on the Northern Ireland market in a more sort of focused and strategic way. We can offer some funding and support to help businesses to research that market a wee bit more, you know, to try and sort of pinpoint where the opportunities are for their business. Look at who their competitors are as well, you know, and see, is it, you know, do they have a unique enough product or service that, you know, that they can be successful in the cross-border market. So there are lots of areas where we can help businesses to navigate around that uncertainty.
Yeah, and do the businesses have to be a certain size, Anne-Marie? You know, do you have to get to a certain stage before you'd get in touch with you guys?
Not necessarily. I mean, I obviously manage the Acumen program, and I suppose, you know, generally the Acumen program is aimed at businesses that are perhaps slightly more well established, and maybe have some more expertise when it comes to exporting, but not always the case. But generally, we deal with SMEs, so it's businesses with under 250 employees. We do have eligibility criteria for our programs, and all of that information is available on our website. But we work with SMEs and with micro enterprises as well. So, depending on the level of cross-border trading or exporting experience in general, you know, we will deal with businesses that are non-exporting right up to those that are advanced exporters. And we have a pathway of supports available there to help companies depending on where they're at in that sort of export journey, and maybe sort of looking at particular areas where they need help. So it could be, it is a company that is completely non-exporting. They only operate within their home market, and, you know, they're starting that process for the first time. So we can help with those initial areas, such as market research, maybe initial sales prospecting, things like that. Or you can have companies that have already dipped their toe into the Northern Ireland market, if you like, and want to go about it in a more focused and strategic way. So we can work with them to develop a more strategic cross-border export plan, and how they go about that way. Generally, companies would sort of transition through our supports, and really, you know, sort of at the end of the process, there will be the program, the Acumen program, where we can actually provide funding towards the salary costs of a salesperson to look at the Northern Ireland market.
Which is fantastic. So they can be really quite early just thinking about looking at exporting. It's a fantastic resource. Mm-hmm. And so, Janet, you work on, you know, the innovation side of things. So can you maybe tell us a bit about that and what you're looking for, or the types of things that you can help people with?
Yeah. So innovation, usually when you say the word innovation, particularly for small businesses, there's an inhale of breath. And the first thing that businesses and business owners will think about is, how much is this going to cost? Because innovation it can be a scary concept. And I think sometimes amongst the SME community, there's a sense that it doesn't really apply to them. But innovation really means doing something different or doing something better. And for every business that there is on the island, there are challenges that they're currently facing. We're well aware of the rising costs of energy. There are impacts currently to the supply chain. And particularly in our latest business plan, Intertrade Ireland are very much focused on that triple transition, supporting SMEs, thinking about digitalization, about net zero, and about increasing their productivity. And for small businesses to look at those areas within that triple transition and to follow through on what is government policy, and which sometimes can feel very far away in terms of, you know, enterprise strategy and specialization strategy. Those are very high level things. But when you're perhaps operating in a small business that makes a product, and you know that the cost of producing and manufacturing that product has risen incrementally and perhaps very sharply, and that you need to do something different because to continue as you are, it's just not going to be, you know, it's not cost effective. You might be thinking, okay, I use lots of spreadsheets in my business, but really, is that effective use of my staff time? Is that an efficient way of doing business? Can we respond to our current customer needs? If we wanted to get new customers, would that be would that be appropriate? Would that match what our customers need from us? So the innovation support programs that I manage, the program's called Innovation Boost. And similar to all InterTrade Ireland programs, it's really about cross-border collaboration and about leveraging knowledge and technology transfer on the island. And the support focuses around taking small businesses who are in the tradable service or manufacturing industry and finding out what it is that they need to do in order to move in terms of where they are, looking at and building upon their current business and looking and building upon their exports, and if they don't export at all, to perhaps put them in a position where they would be able to export.
Is it a bit like, what does innovation look like to you within your business? It's not one thing, you know, one thing is the answer for everybody. It's literally, where can we make improvements within your business?
Absolutely. It's innovation is specific to it. It's really the beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Your business is your business and you know how it operates. And therefore, what is required in order to change it up or take it to the next level or perhaps make it more efficient is very much specific to that business. So the program looks at supporting individual companies that have identified a technology need but don't have the expertise in actually how to deliver it, how could they go about it. So for example, I have a line and I want to make it a much more lean and efficient operation, but I simply don't know. I don't have any experience in lean technologies and I don't know where to begin. You would apply to the program and you would be matched with an academic partner in the opposite jurisdiction. And that's where the cross-border element comes in. If the company is based in Ireland, then you're linked with an academic partner from the north and vice versa. And the academic partner is someone who basically has expertise in the area that you're looking to gain experience in and to develop and deliver a project within. InterTrade Ireland then funds 100% of the costs of that academic expertise and also 50% towards the cost of recruiting a graduate who is employed by the business to work within the business for the length of the project, which can either be 12 or 18 months. The graduate themselves can come from anywhere. They don't have to come from north or south. The graduate is the employee of the business, but they are really the agent of technology transfer. They're the means by which the knowledge is taken from the academic and embedded and integrated within the business. So say for example, digitalization, small businesses looking to digitize individual processes and to look at an overarching a plan of digitalization could link with a partner to look at augmented reality, virtual reality. And those might seem like very far off and unattainable, really high level technologies. But the island and SMEs on the island are very, very forward thinking. Yeah. There are a lot of novel products, a lot of novel businesses out there developing new services, new products that are really very much punching above their weight in terms of what they can achieve. And InterTrade Ireland are there to try you know, and support and continue that through a collaborative mechanism whereby the island as a whole, the capability, there's almost a leveling up of businesses right across the island.
Incredible, isn't it? And it is true collaboration, because as you say, you're looking at, if you're coming up from the south, a knowledge base or university or whatever up the north, but then that you can still create local jobs. It's a fantastic program, and that you can get it done within 12 to 18 months. Do most people succeed? You know, is that long enough to do it? Or I suppose, are they always success stories, or have you ever had anybody that where it hasn't worked out within that time frame?
Innovation, by its very nature, I don't think you ever go in to do an innovation project with an expectation that it's ever going to go exactly as it's planned. And if you do, then that's almost the recipe for it not going as it should. Because innovation, innovation is tackling new. It's taking on a challenge. It's finding a new way of doing something. By its very nature, you can have a plan, you can have a desire and an ambition, but sometimes what happens, projects commence, and initially maybe, you know, whatever the desire, the objective was, that 6 months in, there's a realization that actually this technology isn't quite what we had, it won't deliver exactly what we thought it would. It might adapt, it might change, it could turn into something completely different. That's the key to, I think, particularly to us as an agency, is that we have a level of flexibility and an ability to pivot in terms of recognizing that it's not a straight line. There are sometimes steps forward and steps back for businesses in terms of what it is that they're trying to achieve. And it's no different in terms of when you're tackling innovation. You know, yes, there are companies that achieve what they want within their 12 or 18 months. But honestly, I think it's only ever really the start of a process. And it really is the start of a pathway. Because once you start changing one element of a business, you aren't going to immediately sit back and say, well, that's me all done for the next 10 years. I'm all up to date. And now we'll just keep going the way we're going. Actually, it becomes a continuous cycle of improvement, and that striving, that ambition to always be looking at, you know, if you're a small business, you should always be examining, am I, you know, what's the purpose? Am I doing all that I need to be doing in order to be where I need to be? And, you know, if you're there, well, then you should be looking forward and thinking, well, where do I need to go next? And how do I get there? So how can you support the business to do that? So it's not always straight line. It's not always neatly wrapped up, but that's also part of the benefit of having that collaboration with an academic partner, because, you know, when you have support, it's not about failure. There's more lessons learned from not achieving what you perhaps anticipated than sometimes what there is from achieving what you initially set out to do in a very straightforward way.
It's almost like it gives you, you know, breathing space to experiment and see what's possible within your business, which is a luxury, actually, isn't it? It's a thing that most SMEs just don't have time to do.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah.
And I suppose one burning question that people want me to ask is, you know, if we're dealing with universities and educational institutions and we come up with something, is there an issue around where the IP rests, or does that come into it with this particular program?
IP is something that I haven't found a lot of issue with. I think at that SME level, the level of innovation is such that it's more about if it's creation of new products or processes. Whilst there might be IP, that can always be discussed, and that should always, particularly with Innovation Boost, that would stay, you know, with the business. The next level up to Innovation Boost is Innovation Boost business to business, whereby two businesses come together to work collaboratively, one north, one south, and you can have the support then of an academic partner. And very often in that instance, where two businesses often who are in very different sectors but working collaboratively, so you could have someone a company in the IT sector working with a company that develops a product for a very different sector that IT would never ever have an opportunity to sell into. Together they come to create a product or a service using each other's skills and knowledge, then IP, yes, would become important. And before any project would ever commence, it would be a requirement that IP would be agreed between the partners, because it is important. IP has become increasingly important.
Well, it builds so much value, doesn't it, within a company? So
It does. Yeah. And I think sometimes SMEs think that it's something that rests only with the likes of high tech or very specialized spin out businesses that come from universities, but that's not always the case. If your product or service is novel and you wish to protect it, then you should explore how you do that and what's required in order to do that as well.
And can I just ask, is this a program that works with startups, or do you have to be up and running and established, with a certain level of turnover to be looking at these sort of programs?
Yeah, so for Innovation Boost, it is aimed at companies that are established. So you're looking at a turnover of 500,000 euro plus, 5 employees or more, but I would say come and talk to us and have a conversation, because there are other funding opportunities and there are other supports within Intertrade Ireland, for example, under a funding for growth programs. You can look for support and you can get information as well through the likes of our Seedcorn competition. So those high tech early spin out or startup companies, particularly if there's something very novel, that might be something, that might be interest to them to get some feedback in terms of their product or service. And there's lots of ways in which you can do that. There are different workshops and different seminars in terms of getting feedback on your business plan, on your idea. There's the competition itself, which just closed lately, and the assessments for those will be ongoing now over the summer. But for Innovation Boost, established businesses, and really looking at those businesses that manufacture and tradable service that want to evolve, change, do things differently or do things better to make it more efficient and more profitable for their own business.
Okay. Really, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? I think hopefully people listening to this will realise the amazing opportunity that's available to them to get in touch with Intertrade Ireland. Anne-Marie, can you maybe just talk about what funding options are available for businesses? I suppose, particularly through your programme, which is the Acumen programme. So that's all about growth, I suppose, where companies are definitely at a certain level before they talk to you and then they want to grow and expand the market.
Yes, certainly. So with the Acumen program, essentially, it provides funding towards the cost or the salary of a sales resource. Now, that sales resource could be, there's a bit of flexibility there for the business depending on their needs, but that sales resource could be recruited and employed in either a part-time basis or a full-time basis. But the funding is available as up to just over 21,500 euro. And generally that support will be provided over a 12-month period. And now the Acumen programme is one of Intertrade Ireland's flagship programmes. It's been running for well over 20 years now. And I suppose up until the last 4 or 5 years, the main support has been that actual salary support. But in the last number of years, we've recognised, there are a number of other issues that businesses are dealing with when they participate on the programme and they're approved for the funding on the programme. Once a business has actually received their letter of offer, the next stage for them then is to actually recruit that sales resource, be it the part-time or the full-time resource. And that often poses a problem for companies. I think everybody's well aware, especially in the last number of years, the issues within the labour market. It's very competitive and businesses are struggling to find and recruit, experienced sales resources. And very often a lot of companies that we deal with, they are small businesses. And whilst they might be experienced in recruiting admin resources or production operatives, when it comes to recruiting a sales resource, they just are in, an unknown territory, really. And it's not something they would have any experience in. So we do have additional support available to a company, once they are approved, we can offer support to help with that recruitment process. And it's very practical, hands-on support. We will help them with developing their job description. We can also help them to plan out the advertising strategy of the post, given the nature of the, you know, how the competitive nature of recruitment at the moment. We can also assist with shortlisting. And at the end of the actual interview process, we can also help, you know, pull together a package of support for the successful candidate. You know, that can be quite a daunting process for a lot of businesses and just something they're not very experienced in. So that has been a game changer for a lot of companies coming through the program in the last sort of 4 or 5 years. And it has enabled them to sort of get started on the program as quickly as possible, so they can then actually benefit from the funding and start looking at developing their sales in the cross-border market. And in addition to that as well, for some businesses might come to us and they think, look, we might have somebody in mind for this role, or they are perhaps just that wee bit more experienced with the recruitment, so they're confident to take that process on themselves. But what they might lack actual formal sales training, or they might not have actual, you know, sales processes implemented within their organization. So that's again an area that we can,
isn't it? Sorry, Emery, I think it's a really specialist area almost, isn't it?
It is. And it's, as I say, we can provide some sort of tailored bespoke training for the owner manager of the company and the new sales resource, and that it's very beneficial and really helps them get off to a good start in the program. And we can help them establish some achievable sales targets for the duration of their time on the program for the 12-month period. And as I say, implement those systems and processes where they can review those targets and adjust as they go along. But overall, the program, those additional wraparound supports really are there to offer that additional flexibility to businesses, because we've recognized in the last number of years that businesses have been through a lot, to be quite honest, you know, with Brexit and with the pandemic, rising energy costs, and a lot of businesses just don't have the time, you know, to do these things. The intention is there; they want to develop their cross-border sales, but sometimes going it alone can be quite daunting. So through a program like Acumen, you know, it's a fully managed and supported process, and hopefully by the end of it, businesses will have an approved understanding on how to trade cross-border. They'll have a new and growing sales pipeline. And they also have an enhanced capability and skills within the management team in terms of the overall sales process.
Yeah, and that's such huge value, because definitely I think it's an area where a lot of small businesses just do not know where to start. And of course, everybody would love an amazing salesperson, but how do you go about that? It's definitely a different management style, trying to organize commission, basic pay rates, you know,
exactly.
If the sales aren't coming in, how do we manage that?
Yes.
There's just so much to it, isn't there?
There absolutely is. And I suppose I should also add as well, once a business has recruited their sales resource and they're ready to commence, you know, the support doesn't end there. You know, we will continue to support them throughout the 12 months of the program. And essentially we have an on-the-ground team of consultants based throughout the island. And they will work with the company from the initial inquiry stage right through to application, right through the recruitment side of things. And then also once the project commences, they will support the business for the 12 months and regularly meet with them, generally on a quarterly basis, to make sure everything is going okay. But they're always available at the end of the phone, you know, as a sounding board, really, over some advice. Because, you know, let's be realistic, sometimes things don't work out well. Maybe the sales resource taken on board isn't working out well, or there are issues or problems, or, you know, given the current labour market at the moment as well, sometimes people leave their posts to move to other posts elsewhere. So there's a lot of hands-on support available to companies if they find themselves in that situation. We as an organization are very flexible. We will pause their project if should they find themselves in a situation where their sales resource has left. We will pause the project and give them ample time then to re-recruit for that post, so they can maximize and make the most of the funding that's available.
Which is a win-win. And the funding that's available for that, Anne-Marie, is that 50% funded, or how does that work? What's the ratio there?
It is 50% funded. So the funding is up to a maximum of just over 21,500, and the business would be expected to match fund that. The part-time option for a part-time sales resource, that is up to just over 11,000 euro. And that part-time option, you know, there's a good bit of flexibility with that as well. That could be either somebody employed directly within the business on either a part-time basis, or it could be a sales consultant, you know, somebody with expertise in a particular sector or a market.
Fantastic. Are there any, you know, specific sectors or industries that you are particularly looking for? Do they have to be manufacturing based, or can they be service based businesses?
They can't. Generally, all businesses coming through our programs will be either, they would have to be either manufacturing or tradable services businesses. We basically work with businesses across a variety of sectors. I suppose probably the most sort of popular sectors that coming through the program would be sort of agri-food. We have a lot of engineering businesses and ICT, probably the three main areas that I would say certainly see coming through the Acumen program. Janet, I'm not sure maybe if you have anything to add in terms of the innovation side.
It's fairly similar. Again, it's manufacturing, tradable service. Certainly engineering would be very high up on the list. Food businesses, food technology side, IT as well, starting to see now some of the sort of fintech as well. But I suppose companies looking at a broad range of innovation type activities, sort of key things at the moment would be digitalization, certainly is one, and also carbon, sort of that net zero, and productivity would be the other. So that sort of fits within as well the InterTrade Ireland corporate objectives of this, supporting this triple transition, particularly with, you know, there's new policy and legislative requirements, for example, the likes of the net zero. Companies are being challenged around issues, including packaging, really having to think about their footprint, and being held accountable as well. So not only sort of reviewing and thinking about how they do that, but also how they measure it and how they report it as well. So yeah, across a wide variety, sort of wealth of sectors, I think.
Yeah, which is great. It's open to quite a few. Are there any final words of advice you'd like to give? Maybe I'll ask each of you one at a time, for anybody who's listening going, do you know what, I think I'll get in touch. Anything you'd recommend, maybe Janet, if you want to answer, or, you know, how they approach you. You obviously don't have to go through Leo to get in touch with you. You can contact you direct. Is that right?
Yeah, what I always say to businesses, it doesn't cost anything to have a conversation. It costs absolutely nothing to have a conversation. And sometimes it can be the best benefit, you know, cost effective benefit for your business. Because what you don't know, you don't know. We have a website, intertradeireland.com, which has details of all our supports right across, from trade, innovation, funding for growth. There's some information as well on tendering training. There's information on digital capability. We also are delivering a number of supports that facilitate the development of cross-border clusters and collaborative networks. So if a business finds it scary on its own to think about, you know, how could I do something different or better, you know, if you are, you know, in one of the regions with a cluster network that's operating in your region. I know, for instance, we're working with the IDEAM cluster out over in Limerick. We're working with the TIM, which is in the Midlands. There's lots right across the island, north and south, and InterTrade Ireland's playing a role and bringing the clusters together. So a cluster that's in a particular area in Ireland, and linking with a cluster in the north, and really get involved and start, you know, I suppose my takeaway would be, when you're going somewhere on your own, you will get so far, but when you travel with others, you can often go much further. And that's because you find out things that you never knew, because you learn from other businesses' experiences. And InterTrade Ireland as that connector, that collaborative working, you know, getting an opportunity to work collaboratively, whether that's with academia, whether that's with other businesses, whether that's, as Anne-Marie has outlined, working with one of our consultants on the ground, working collaboratively with people can give you a different perspective that can help you take your business to the next level. So certainly getting in touch with InterTrade Ireland, as I say, through the website, you can contact us directly by phone, you know, is a great place to start.
Brilliant. And what about you, Emery? Any final words of advice?
Yeah, as just literally as Janet has just said, you know, I would just say literally start the conversation now with us. First port of call probably to the website. All the information on the programs is available there and all the various contact points. But we will gladly pick up the phone and chat to you. We'll talk you through the programs, talk to you about your business needs. Obviously, with most of our programs, there will be certain eligibility criteria. So we'll discuss all of that with you to you know, determine if it's the right time for your business to avail of the support, and generally work with you to try and build a plan really and how you can access the support. But we do, you don't necessarily have to be, you don't certainly don't have to be referred via the LEOs or Enterprise Ireland, but we do work very closely with all the agencies on the island, particularly in relation to the Acumen programme. So it's a very joined up approach, really, and there all the other agencies would very much have an involvement in the assessment process of businesses coming through. So it just ensures that, you know, this is the right approach for your business, and it's linking up to the supports that you're also availing of through the other agencies as well to make sure they complement each other.
Brilliant. And you guys also do some networking events, I know, where you know, you don't have to have gone through any of the programs, and I think you've one coming up on the 8th of June, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We have an event in Belfast at the International Conference Center, the ICC in Belfast. Full details are on our website and you can register. It's free to join that event, and we have a number of keynote speakers. We have we're going to be having a number of panels, which will have representation from businesses, both learnings from larger businesses, but also smaller businesses who've participated on programs, and what has been their experience and key challenges, key takeaways. So that's on the 8th of June in Belfast.
Brilliant. So well worth going to that. And as the ladies were saying, really collaboration is key. I think it's going to be the way that we all work in the future. So what better opportunity than to start now? Thank you so much to both of you, Anne-Marie McAteer and Janet Toll, for joining us today from InterTrade Ireland. As they were saying, you can find out more on the website intertradeireland.com, and you can also chat to them on Twitter at inter_trade. Thank you very much, as usual, to our team, Isha Horn and Madeline Ryan at Leo Tipperary. Always do a great job putting the podcast together. You can talk to Leo Tipperary on localenterprise.ie Tipperary, or get in touch with them in Clonmel via Facebook or Twitter, and the handle Instagram as well is Leo Tipperary. And finally, if you'd like to talk to us, you can reach the podcasting team at thebusinessfairy.ie on Facebook, Twitter or Instagram at TBF Central, and use the hashtag SME Community Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for research, Jane Farrell, and our sound engineer, Derry Lusherell. So until next time, bye for now. The SME Community Podcast is an initiative by Tipperary Local Enterprise Office. It is produced by the Business Fairy Digital Marketing Agency, and it's hosted by me, Aisling Hurley. You can talk to us on Twitter at TBF Central, and you can also talk to Tipperary Local Enterprise Office on Leo Tipperary.